saved, that our spirit is saved, and we can now understand the Word of God, and we can live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. But the fact remains that our flesh is not saved. The Bible says that we're waiting to wit the redemption of our flesh. And we're always going to have the flesh that wars against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And there's times in our personal lives when maybe we get a little carnal, we get a little fleshy, we're not spirit-filled, we fall. And we do things that are displeasing in the eyes of God. But you know, one characteristic that every Christian ought to have in their life is this, that we get back up, that we rise up, right? And the fact of the matter is, the Bible says here, the wicked fall into mischief. They're always going to be involved. The wicked are always going to be involved in those things that are ungodly and all those things that are wicked, but it should not be so among us. Now, is it possible? Absolutely. But the Bible says that when we fall, we ought to rise up again. We ought to get up, dust off our feet, press towards the mark, forgetting those things which are behind, and press forward to those things which are before, as the Bible says. Go with me to what's Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37. There are going to be times when we fall, but the Bible says we ought to rise up again. And I'm thankful that when we fall, you know, we don't lose our salvation. Amen? Yep. And once saved, always saved, we obviously know that. But it's great that when we fall, well, it's not great that when we fall, but it's great that when we fall, we don't fall out of the grace of God, as someone would put it. We don't fall out of salvation, if some would, you know, say. The Bible says here in Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand, the Bible says. And why is that? Because the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And that's a blessing. But let me say this, it doesn't mean that when we fall, we don't suffer consequences. Right. There's consequences to sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. There's always going to be a penalty for our sin on this earth. That's why we need to make sure that when we fall, we get back up. When we fall, we mess up. You say, man, I fell this week and I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying as I ought to. Get back up. The just man riseth up again. You say, man, but I feel like I've been down this road already. I failed so many times. I've done so many. There's been so many times in my life that I failed God. We just get back up again. I mean, you're still alive, right? I mean, as long as you're breathing, you're in a Bible-believing church, you got the Word of God, you still have a second chance to get back up and do that which is right in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
Rise it up again. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You know, I don't believe that our lives ought to be characterized by failure, necessarily, but there will be times in our life when we fail. You know, there's going to be hard times when we fail, when we don't measure up to the standard that maybe we have for our lives or what God has for our lives. But here's the thing. What's important is that we get back up. That we get back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, the Bible says here, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, we all have to be prideful people. Okay? And not be so foolish to think, well, you know, I walk with God and I read the Bible and I pray and I memorize scripture. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. No, we need to take heed lest we fall. We need to be vigilant, as the Bible says. Be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And every day we need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross, follow the Lord, and do what we're supposed to do so that we don't fall. We need to give heed, earnest heed, as the Bible says, to the things that God has given, the things that God has given to us. But here's the thing. We decide whether we stay down or we get up. You know, I met a lot of Christians throughout the years that have fallen, they've blown it, they've messed up, and they just stay down. You know, one of the most annoying things to me when I watch a boxing match is when I see a guy get knocked down and he just stays down. You know, I admire those who can actually get, even if they're wobbling a little bit, you know, it's just like they're putting their hands up and they're wobbling. It's like, man, that guy's got heart. He's going to lose this whole thing. He's probably going to get knocked out again, but this guy's got heart. And I want God to look down upon me, that when I get knocked down, even if I stand up and my legs are wobbling a little bit, he's like, you know, this guy's got heart. Obviously, he wants to get back into the fight, get back into the battle. But it really, it's up to you. It's really up to you whether you want to stay down or get back up. And you can't blame anybody else. You say, well, I'm staying down because so-and-so offended me from so-and-so church. You know, well, get in line. Everyone's been offended by so-and-so church. You're probably going to offend it in this church. Someone here is going to offend you. And don't let that be a reason why you fall and don't get back up. You decide to stay down and be discouraged or to just get back up. You decide to be lazy or to just get back up and do something great for God. To be diligent, to have character in your life, and do that which you're supposed to do. And you say, well, you know, man, I know we're supposed to read the Bible every single day, and I know that's supposed to be a constant practice in my life, but I missed yesterday. So, you know what, I'm just going to forget this week, and maybe next month I'll start. No, that's not the way to do it. Look, if you messed up yesterday, pick it up again today. And then tomorrow's a new day. And start it up again today, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. It's something we got to do daily. And by the way, we can't live off of yesterday's victories. You may have had a good day reading your Bible today, but tomorrow is a new day. Mm-hmm. Monday is a new day. The flesh is there tomorrow, okay? The flesh is there to cause you to be lazy, not read your Bible, not pray, not do what you're supposed to do, and we need to fight it. But it's up to you, whether you stay down or you get back up. You know, it's your decision whether you want to be lukewarm, a lukewarm believer, or a hot believer. Be hot for God. You say, well, we live in the Laodicean era here. You're in the wrong church. Sorry, that goes out that door right over there. Make a left and go, keep going. Keep going. It doesn't exist. You have a choice to be on fire for God or not.
Amen.
Okay? And you say, well, I don't feel it. Well, you know, it's most of the time, if not all the time, it's not about how you feel. Okay? I don't feel like doing a lot of things sometimes. One primarily is just getting up in the morning. And I don't think anybody feels like anything. But you know, we do it because we're supposed to. And there's many things in the Christian life that we don't feel like doing, but we do it anyways. And let me say this, it's like a cycle, because once you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyways, you'll get back into the mode where you want to do it. Yeah. You say, man, I don't feel like reading the Bible. Read the Bible, and guess what happens? You start reading it long enough, and then you delight in the Word of God, and then you want to read the Bible.
Amen.
You know, I don't feel like going soul winning, but just do it anyways. And then when you start leading people to Christ, it's like, man, I'm thankful I did this, and then you want to do it. And that's how the Christian life is. We can't be children in the Lord who only do things when we feel like doing them. Because in actuality, we don't really feel like doing spiritual things all the time. We have the flesh. But it's our decision whether we stay down or we rise up to do what we're supposed to do. You can be the same Christian you've always been, or you can rise up to the occasion and just get back up and be better. Okay? We can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and keep going forward and keep wanting to grow. You say, man, I've had some setbacks. Hey, join the crowd. We've all had setbacks. But do you stay down or do you get back up? Go with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 8. The title of the sermon this evening is Rise to the Occasion. Rise to the occasion. When the occasion comes, are you gonna get up or are you going to stay down? There's so many opportunities in the Christian life. There's so many opportunities to do something for God this side of eternity. We need to rise to the occasion and just do it. And not regret it 10 years from now. Judges chapter 8, verse 18. The Bible reads here, then said he unto Ziba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom he slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Here we see that his father instructed his son, get up and kill that guy. And Jether said, well, he didn't say it. He said, probably said in his heart, he's like, I can't do this. I'm just a young guy. I'm a youth. And he drew not his sword. You know, many times in the spiritual applications, a lot of Christians are like that. They say, well, I'm not capable of doing it. I'm not able to rise up to the occasion. When the Bible says that, you know what, we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if we know how to, if we have the sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God, we can do it. We need to rise up and slay the enemies. Now, not physically. We're talking about in the spiritual sense. Say, I can't do it, but you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Amen. That's just the bottom line. And we can't be like this young man who just makes excuses and say, well, I'm just a youth, I can't do it. Well, I'm just a babe in Christ, I can't do it. Of course we can. Of course we can. It's the effort we put into it and depending on God, asking Him to help us to do what we're supposed to do. Go with me, if we went to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter number 3. So this guy, he was afraid. He was scared. The youth drew not his sword. Why? Because he was afraid. He was yet a youth. But in contrast, look what Judges chapter 3 says in verse 15. The Bible reads here, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges, of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into the belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And look what the Bible says, and the dirt came out." I mean, what a contrast that we see here from the youth who drew not a sword. Ehud had this great task to deliver the children of Israel from Eglon, and he took the task, and he grabbed it by the horns, he pulled out the dagger, and he just stabbed that guy right in the belly, and he took care of it. He delivered them because of that. And the Bible says that the dirt came out. I mean, what a contrast. And let me say this, we ought to be like Ehud. I'm sure Ehud had some fear in him. I'm sure Ehud maybe, we can't tell. You know, if he had failures or successes in the past, but we do know this, it's recorded within the Bible that he was successful at what he just did. He delivered, and by the way, he obeyed God in delivering the children of Israel from Eglon. Go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter number 11. Are you going to stay down or are you going to rise up? Are you going to stay down or are you going to rise to the occasion? What opportunity is God presenting to you today? What opportunity is he going to present to you this month? What is it that God is placing on the doorstep of your spiritual life that he's basically telling you, hey, are you going to rise to the occasion? Are you going to take advantage of this? Are you going to do it? Acts chapter 11, verse number 5, the Bible reads here, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheep, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven." So here in this story, we see that Peter has this vision, and God drops this sheet down, this great sheet with unclean animals, what the Bible calls unclean animals in the Old Testament. And of course, Peter, being used to the Old Testament law, said, "No, there's no unclean thing that's ever entered into my mouth." Now we know that obviously in the New Testament, we don't observe that. In the New Testament, the Bible says that the Old Testament stood in meats and drinks and diverse washings, which really were done away with when Christ came. And so that was no longer valid. Now that was the spiritual application to that was this, people. And what he was saying, what God was trying to get across to Peter is, hey, you need to start reaching out to other people other than the Jews. You need to start reaching out to the Gentiles and people who are a different nation so you can reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he was asking, are you going to rise to that occasion? Rise! Kill and eat. Rise, go get them. Rise, go preach the gospel to them. Rise, go do something for God. And it took them a while to get it. Luckily, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the one who actually started reaching out to these groups and started seeing a bunch of people saved other than the Jews. And let me say this. God is also speaking to us today and saying, hey, we need to rise, kill, and eat. And what does he mean by that? We need to rise and go and preach the gospel to everyone.
Amen.
We need to rise and go preach. There's nothing uncommon or unclean here. Well, except for the sodomites, amen. There's nothing uncommon or unclean that we can reach. God is saying, get them all. Red, yellow, black, and white, get them all. And by the way, that's why it's important that, hey, if you speak Spanish, especially in California, you need to be out soul winning.
Amen.
Okay? Alex knows, when we're starting in Long Beach, I mean, we run into a lot of Spanish-speaking people, and it's frustrating for him. I mean, I know Spanish, so I can preach the gospel in Spanish, but it's frustrating to people who knock all the time, and it's like, man, I wish I could win this person to Christ, but we can't. Why? Because they speak Spanish. But here's the thing, we need to rise and reach those people. We need to rise and reach every single ethnicity that we can reach in California. Are you going to rise to the occasion to take care of that? Are you going to rise to the occasion to reach the people who only speak Tagalog? Maybe they speak Spanish. Maybe they speak Mandarin. Whatever language they speak, hey, they're here. And by the way, save yourself a plane ticket if you want to become a missionary. Just stay here.
Man.
There's a bunch of people here. Look, I don't know how much the ticket is to go to China, but China's like in Monterey Park. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's a bunch of Chinese people there. I'm talking about only Mandarin-speaking Chinese people. Look, I'd rather just save the money and just go over there. Then I can just go home and see my wife. You know what I mean? I don't have to be gone for like a week or so. But here's the thing. They're all there. Are you going to rise and do something about it? You see, man, I just don't know. You know what? Enough with the excuses. Let's just do it. And by the way, I'm not saying you need to learn another language to reach someone. If you speak English, there you go. And there's a bunch of people. There's a bunch of Hispanics that speak English. They speak Spanish and English, and you can reach them as well. All right? But rise to the occasion and take care of business. Slay any, as the Bible says. Judges chapter 20, if you would, please. Judges chapter number 20. Here in the story, in Judges chapter 20, a great crime was committed by the Benjamites. These Sodomites, of course, we know the story that they had raped a woman. And Israel rises up to defeat Benjamin for this great crime that was committed. It was almost as if, you know, if California was Benjamin and then all the other states just rose up to come get California. And we see here, these Benjamites, they're not like the Sodomites of today. They know how to fight. They knew how to fight back then is what I'm saying. You know, these guys, they knew what they were doing. They're left-handed. They could sling. They knew what they were doing. And it took them a couple times to really defeat the Benjamites. In verse 18, the Bible says, the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. So here we see they got defeated. 22,000 men. Talk about discouragement, right? Now look what it says here. Verse 22, And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. So they say, you know what? We're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord and let's just get back up. Let's go at it again. Let's try it again. Verse 23, and the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. So, I mean, if it wasn't bad enough in the first place, now there's 18,000 men that were slain who drew the sword. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I'd probably be a little discouraged at that point. Like, man, maybe we should rethink this, you know? But no, look what it says. Verse 26. Then all the children of Israel and all the people wept, went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And we're not going to read the rest of it, but basically they ended up winning after that. Why is that? Because they were just persistent. You know what's missing in the life? The quality that's missing in Christians is just persistence. Being determined. Just do it. And by the way, I think the reason these guys just kept getting up and doing it is because they knew they were doing right. They knew that the fight that they were fighting was a right fight. And even though they failed and they fell and people lost their lives, they knew within their hearts, we're doing that which is right. We're executing righteousness here. Let's take care of business. Let's just go at it again. And they won the battle. What will it take to keep you down? Ask yourself that. What will it take to keep you down and not get back up again? Go with me if you would to Luke chapter 5. There's going to be times when we fall. We're going to stumble. Maybe our faith is going to wane a little bit in God. Maybe we're not going to feel as spiritually strong as we would want to feel. You know, we feel a little lax, a little complacent. But at the end of the day, are you going to get up? At the end of the day, tomorrow, are you going to rise up, read the Bible? Are you going to rise up and preach the gospel? Are you going to rise up and stand for right? Are you going to rise up and do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? So when are some times that we should rise? First of all, let me say, when it's time to follow the Lord, rise to the occasion. Look at the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse number 27, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto them, follow me. And look what it says, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. I mean, immediately. He just got up and went. That's pretty commendable right there. I mean, this guy's working. The Lord comes and says, follow me. And he says, let's go. You know the Lord needs? Some Christians just say, all right, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. No questions asked. Let's just do it. Let's be all in. Rise to the occasion. And let me say this. I'm pretty sure this guy is in heaven thankful that he made that decision that day. He's like, man, now I'm in the Word of God. You know, I got that. I'm not like Demas who, you know, forsook Paul. Now it's like been written in the Bible. No, I'm pretty sure he's thankful that that thought came to his mind and said, I'm just going to go. Let's do it. Let's go.
Amen.
Hey, when it's time to follow, let's follow. And guess what? Now's the time to follow.
Amen.
Now's the time to get in all in. Now's the time to get yourself rooted and grounded and follow the Lord as you ought to do it. Matthew chapter 4. Go with me if you went to Matthew chapter 4. You know, all of us, well, maybe not all of us, because how many first-generation Christians are there here? All right, how many second-generation? Okay, so the majority of us, I'm first-generation. You know, we walked according to the course of this world. We followed things that we ought not to have followed. We followed the culture or whatever it may have been, a different religion, but now it's time to follow the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, that means immediately, left their nets and followed him. I mean, these guys left their livelihood, that which pays the bills. And they said, let's go. They got up and followed him. No questions asked. Now let me say this, I'm not saying that you need to quit your job and just start like, you know, sowing. I mean, I'm not saying that, okay? I think if you have a family, you need to provide for your family. You know, I have a son, I need to work, I need to provide, I need to pay the bills, I need to put food on the table, clothes on the backs of my family. But what I am saying is this, is when God says, hey, get up, I'll make you fishers of men, don't question it, let's just do it. And let me say this, the natural byproduct of following Christ is we become fishers of men. You know, this movement, so I'm just a Jesus follower. You know, well, how many people have you went to the Lord? You know, who did you talk to about Christ this week? You know, well, I mean, the byproduct of following Christ is that you are a fisher of men. You win people to Christ. Okay? Now, everyone obviously has, some people win 10, some people win 5, some people have different fruit, but the bottom line is, you win someone to Christ. So you can't say you're following Christ if you're not winning anybody to Christ. You say, well, I thought I was following Christ. I'm not winning anybody. Start following him and you will win him. You will win him, especially in our church. Yeah. Okay, it's going to happen. Ephesians chapter 2. I quoted this, but I want to read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, there was a time when we just didn't follow God. We didn't care about these things. And it's sad to see Christians who still live like that. They still walk according to the course of this world. They still have this worldly mentality and this temporal mindset that only seeks to live for the here and now. Now, let's live for eternity. You know what's the most important thing we can live for in this world, of course, is God, but for souls, to see souls saved.
Yeah.
To train up our children to be soul winners. To train up our families to be armies for the Lord, so we can do something great for Him. That's the most important thing. Look, food is important, clothing is important, but those stuff is just, that's for maintenance. What's important is the souls that we're going to see one to the Lord. You know, when we get to heaven, we see that grand multitude of people that we want to the Lord, we'll understand what's most important in our lives. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter number 2. When God says follow, we need to follow. Why don't we read our Bible so we can become better soul winners, better witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can keep our lives clean and live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, but it's all for the sake of reaching people for Christ. And by the way, without compromise. Without compromise. You know, I'm thankful for the Independent Baptist who taught me the Romans Road. I'm thankful that I learned about the King James Bible in an Independent Fundamental Baptist church. I'm thankful that they taught me not the way of the liberals who they just want to do this lifestyle evangelism. No, it's a gospel presentation that asks for someone to call upon the name of the Lord so they can be saved. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, the Bible says. You know, we can't be worldly Christians. And we have to constantly fight that in our personal lives, don't we? Because we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And it's a constant battle. And how do we know that we've been infected by the world and by the world's philosophies? When we start losing our love for the lost. When we start losing our love for the Word of God. Go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 14. Are you going to rise to the occasion to follow the Lord? You know, you're not here by accident. It's a blessing that this church has been started. I'm thankful for this. I've heard so many people say, man, we've been praying, and now the prayer has been answered. What a blessing. It's not an accident. And though we're going to fellowship, we're going to have a good time, we're here so we can, we congregate so we can get out and get some more people saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this. When the stones of life hit you, are you going to rise to the occasion? Acts chapter 14 and verse number 18, the Bible says here, and with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I mean, wow. I mean, Paul, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I've never been physically stoned or hit with a rock. I mean, I've been hit with a small pebble. But to be stoned by a multitude of people to the point where you just look like you're dead, to get up and then go into the next city to go preach, that says a lot about Paul.
Yeah.
And you know what? In the United States, I don't think that's going to happen as of yet. You know, they're not going to persecute us as of yet. You know, we got some laws here that will protect us, amen. We can exercise our religious rights. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt. They'll say all kinds of stuff about us, but who cares about that?
Yeah.
But you know what? In life, there is stones, in the sense of like spiritual stones, that will be cast at us. And some of them come in the form of words. Some of them, maybe it's from your family. Maybe it's from friends. Maybe it's from people that you esteem as people whom you love, and they've criticized you, maybe because of your beliefs or because of the direction you're going in. And you know what? Those stones hurt. Why? Because they come from the closest people that you know. And you know what? Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians in all types of churches that get criticized for their beliefs and what they stand for, and guess what? They just stay down. They don't get up and go to Derby. They don't get up like Paul and say, I hurt just a tad, but I can still walk and go to the next town. And let me say this, wounds heal. And if they don't, we get glorified bodies later on, we'll be good. Okay? Wounds heal. But you know what? We're not here to just live a painless life. There's going to be pain. No pain, no gain. Okay? And when the stones of life hit you, don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. Don't get down in the dumps. Just rise up and go to Derby. Go to the next task. Go to the next town. Keep living for the Lord. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 8, the Bible says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." You know, there's going to be times when we're persecuted, but we're not destroyed. The Bible says we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. And let me say this. Sometimes when we're persecuted, even by those who are our closest, we feel like we're alone. It just gets a little lonely. But you know what? Hey, I got a bunch of people here who agree with me. Amen. I got a bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ right here who can cheer me on, and I can cheer you on. Amen. Hey, we're not forsaken. God has people prepared for this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The stones of life will come. It's up to you whether you're going to get up and do something about it. I mean, I'm picturing Paul, maybe broken teeth. I don't know. I mean, that's painful. But he just got up. Maybe he was playing dead. I don't know. Just playing dead or something, I don't know. And just got up. He's like, they're gone. All right, man, let's go. You know, that was close. But I do know this. He got up. He rose up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And look what it says. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This is Paul saying this. I mean, I wouldn't look at what Paul went through and say, man, that was a light affliction. I would say, man, that was heavy. I've never been through something like that. You know? I've never been in a sea, you know, just floating there waiting for something. I've never been nothing like that. Yet he himself said, that's a light affliction. You know what? In light of eternity, when you compare things to eternity, which is forever, it is very light. And what are you saying? Those times when we are cast down, we feel like, man, we've been forsaken. The times when we just feel down, we're perplexed. Just compare it to the future. It's a light affliction. And you know what that does? That helps us to say, let's keep going forward. Let's rise up and do what we're supposed to do. Galatians, you don't have to turn there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Go with me, if you would, to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Are you willing to rise to the occasion? Hey, when you're tempted, rise to the occasion to overcome it. When you are tempted to sin, when you're tempted to do that which is wrong, rise to the occasion to overcome it. Don't be the weak Christian to say, well, I'm just going to give in this one last time, or I'm just going to do wrong this one last time. No, rise to the occasion and fight it. Look at Luke 22 says, in verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." You say, well, how do I rise to the occasion? You know, when you're tempted, instead of just giving in, why don't you just pray? Say, God, help me with this. Help me. Help me to fight this. Help me to not give in. Help me not give in, whether it's lust or it's laziness or whatever sin may be trying to creep into your heart. Fight it. Say, God, help me. You think God is just like, man, no, you got this on your own. You take care of this on your own. I'm not. I already gave you enough power. No, he wants to help. He wants to deliver you from those temptations. Go with me, if you want, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. The Bible says here, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You can bear the temptation. Fight through it. Ask God to help you. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians can't be used sometimes simply because they allow sin into their life. to become unclean vessels. And God isn't willing to use an unclean. We got to get the sin out of our lives. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Bible says the Lord will not hear us. And what we need to do is get to a place that when the temptation comes, we deny ourselves, we deny our flesh, and say, God, help me with this. Help me to overcome it. Make me strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Help me to overcome this. Go to Acts chapter 8. Don't give in to sin. Yes, we're all sinners, but the fact is we don't have to give in to certain specific sins. We don't have to give in every single day to things that will displease God, whether it's sins of omission or sins of commission. We don't have to give in to those things. We just need to pray and ask God to help us. Quote Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Figure out the Scriptures that you need to overcome that specific temptation and quote that thing. Hey, when it comes to soul winning, arise to the occasion. I mention this a lot, and obviously you can tell I'm trying to get us to go soul winning. Amen? Yeah. Why? Because you guys are from so many different areas in this place in California. We need you all to be committed in this specific area right here. You know, we're not going to be meeting up. Even when we get our building, we're not going to be meeting at the home base. You guys are going to be soul winning at your area and reaching those people for Christ. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And we know how that story ends. He sees the man saved. Why? Because he simply, when God says, rise up and do it, he rose up and did it. And we need people to rise up to this. John chapter 15. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. You know, my desire is to have fruit. And that you would have fruit in your life. You know, I'm scared to think of the Christians who don't go soul winning who think they're going to get something when they get to heaven. You know, when they get there, they're like, what am I getting? It's just like, nothing. You know, you're saved, get soul as by fire. You know, it's just like, you're saved. It's like, all right, but where's anything else? Nope. Sorry. You know, but I handed like out 5,000 tracts. Sorry. You know, if you would have just even, if you would have just read it. Someone. Maybe you would have something. You didn't get anything. You know? No, I want fruit that abounds. You know, I want to meet people, not tracks, in heaven. I want to meet the people that I went to the Lord. You know, there's scores of people that I went to the Lord, and some of them I honestly don't remember. But I will see them one day. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God says, I want you to have fruit, I want you to have fruit that remains. But you got to do what God wants you to do. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter number 5. And speaking of, you know, regional soul winning, it's going to be great. I really hope that everyone gets involved in this. And I was reading this story and I was just thinking about this plan that we have to reach all kinds of people in different areas. And if we all just get on board with this, and we all band together and team up to do this, I believe we can see something great for the Lord. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What an awesome story. He went home to where he was from, and he began to publish. Began to win souls. Let me say this. Each and every one of us are like that guy. I mean, I don't know if you guys are crazy like him or like that, but we got saved, right? God did something great for us. And you know what God's saying? Now go home and tell thy friends. Go to Decapolis. Go publish. Go preach the gospel. Go see people saved in that area. Go do the work of the Lord. And each and every one of us has that response. You know, we don't live in the cities we live in on accident. We're there, and guess what? The Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, the Bible says. And especially if when we're there, we're going to be the ones witnessing. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we'll close with this point. Hey, when it comes to getting out of complacency, arise to the occasion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, I think one of the things that a lot of Christians struggle with that we have to fight is complacency. Just being stagnant, you know, just kind of cruising by. Even if you're reading your Bible every single day and you're going to church, you're doing what you're supposed to do, if you're not careful, you just get stagnant. You just kind of put it on cruise control because you just like, there's no growing. You're not going backwards. You're not necessarily going forward. You're just kind of cruising. That's called complacency. When you're not willing to do something a little extra. You know, when you work out, you know, you lift weights and you lift a certain weight. If you constantly do that, obviously you're the first time your muscles are going to grow. But if you constantly only do that, your muscles aren't going to grow after that. Why? Because you got to keep adding more weight, you know, to grow. And often Christians can be complacent and they just stay at the same weight, you know, just doing the same thing. And when it comes to getting out of the complacency, we just need to rise to the occasion and say, God, bring the pressure, bring the stress, bring the pain. Help me to just grow out of this complacency so I can grow for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, the Bible says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantages it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Look what it says. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know, sometimes we just need to wake up. When we're in that road of complacency, it's like, hey, wake up. Wake up. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And when we're just doing the same thing every single day, day in and day out, every single week, and we're not struggling, there's not some sort of pressure upon us, we need to wake up and awake to righteousness and sin not. And recognize there's still great work that needs to be done. If you're complacent today, arise to the occasion to get out of that. And I think this church is going to help us with that. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. It's going to help us to get out of complacency.
Amen.
You know, some of us, we've been, man, it's like, you know, for a while, I would tell my friends, faithful word, I long for thee. You know, it's like, let's just go. I told my wife, let's just move out there. You know? But you know, faithful word came to us.
Yep.
You know? And a lot of us, maybe some of you have been out of church because of it. I don't know what your story is. But I know this, that the temptation for every Christian is to just get complacent. Even if you believe right, you can still get complacent. You know, you just get stagnant in your Christian life. Well, we need to, now is the time, it's like God's waking us up. Hey, the church is here now. No more excuses. Arise. get out of complacency. Let's do something for God. Amen? Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the truths found therein. Thank you for those who arose in the Bible and they gave us those examples. Thank you for those who stayed down because they gave us an example of what not to do. But Lord, we know that the men of the Bible are men of like passion, so they got discouraged as well. They got complacent. There's times in the Bible when they would struggle. But just watching them plow through those times, it gives us a template to go by and helps us to realize that we can do it too. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, that when we fall, whether it's in sin or in complacency or discontentment, discouragement, whatever it may be, that we would just get up and keep going forward for God. And I just pray that you'd help us to find that building that we need, Lord, so we can have a permanent location. Thank you so much for everyone who came. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.